Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, shades of 2017 in so many ways at the very end of last night. Not throughout the game, 2017. But the very end last night, not just that it was Brandon Graham and, of course, the Super Bowl. If you remember, in the Super Bowl season, that happened multiple times near the end of games. They had the one versus Washington week one that year. I get them all confused. I think they had a late strip of Phillip Rivers week four.
The Rams game for sure.
Yeah, there was like three or four of them that year where combinations of Cox or Graham or Chris Long had a couple. There was a couple of them that year. So they got another one last night, which was super cool to see. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie with you here. Twitter poll question brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park, which is open for gaming, live racing, sports wagering, and golf. Visit DelawarePark.com, lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. All right, today's question, what hits you more after last night's Eagles game? These are two totally different things. A, happy they won. B, aware they are bad. That's like putting you in a vice, man. That's like, because they're both true. We're happy they won, and we know they're bad.
But so what hits you more?
What hits you more? Which in many ways is kind of, you know, strikes at the heart of what we're discussing here today.
What's your answer there? Mine is aware they're bad. I am happy.
I'll tell you what.
That they won.
I would go A, John, for a specific reason. I knew they were bad entering the game. They didn't convince me of any extra level of badness. I knew they were bad.
Well, that's the thing. They did convince me of an extra level.
All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. The Birds get the win. By the way, Doug Peterson, day after press conference today at 12:15. We'll carry that live on our show at 12:15 today. Doug Peterson, and also up ahead this segment, what Ray Dittinger said this morning to Angelo, kind of summarizing how he feels about the Eagles' victory last night. Let's go to George right now in Conshohocken. What's going on, George?
Hey, that Brandon Graham draft pick is looking not as bad as we initially thought, right?
Hey, Earl Thomas isn't even on a team.
I know. It's getting better and better.
Yeah.
Well, your first question, Joe, is like, are you happy? And I am happy that the Eagles won the game. And the main reason is I think you got to put things in perspective. And, you know, you don't have Brooks, Peters, Lane Johnson's in and out. That's 60% of your offensive line is banged up. I mean, we all know the whole wide receiver scenario, but what's been the one thing Carson Wentz could rely on, you know, the last couple of years? It's his tight end. Like, having a banged-up offensive line, having no Ertz and Goddard, I mean, you're going to see a lot of inconsistency. I think that's kind of expected. And I don't think that's something, you know, I don't think that's a strange thing. I'm not surprised by it's a bit, you know, inconsistent offensively from the Eagles. You know, I think you're being a bit hard on Wentz again, Joe.
Well, look, I mean, he was great at times, but he was really bad at times. And I think John's point that it's not sustainable – like, the way it's happening, George, he's going to get injured. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, be cruel. I'm just being honest. There's no way he can absorb these hits for nine more games, let alone five or six more seasons.
Yep.
I actually agree. And I'm, like, wondering, is Doug mad at Wentz? Like, some of these plays, like,
he's desperate. I'll tell you what it is. Doug is desperate. He knows his team needs wins. He knows that Wentz taking those chances gives them the best chance. But it's an unsustainable model for you know, year in and year out success, let alone game in and game out success.
Right.
I totally agree. And you know, I'm a huge Doug fan, but there has to be a serious talk about getting someone in here to call plays. I mean, the first caller was right on point. I mean, you throw, I'm not questioning going for it on fourth and goal from the two, but you throw a fade to a guy who's been sitting on the bench for three quarters. I mean, man, there's like a lot of things that you just scratch your head that he's, you know, some of these decisions that he's making. And I really think you need another mind in there to maybe, you know, throw a different angle and or give Doug some different ideas.
Well, that's the thing. They have more minds. They have more minds on this offense than any other team out there, as far as I can tell. I mean, they got too many minds, if you ask me. And I agree. I don't think Doug looked good. And this is for this whole season. But it was especially glaring last night. And in terms, his point with the tight end thing, he's missing a tight end to throw the ball to with success. Richard Rodgers was successful. Richard Rodgers, as crazy as it turns out, I had a more productive game than Zach Ertz has had this entire season.
That's amazing.
Richard Rodgers, who's not talented, who was designated as our like in-line blocking tight end, went out there and was more productive with 8 targets, 6 catches for 85 yards than Zach Ertz has been the entire year. He was where he was supposed to be when the routes were run and Carson hit him. Zach Ertz can't say the same thing. You know, that's a real problem when Zach comes back. I don't know if you'll get a better production than Richard Rodgers just gave you last night.
Well, and we don't even know when Zach Ertz would come back. He's on IR, and, you know, 1 out of 3 games down now. But, I mean, is he out 5 weeks? Is he out 6 weeks? We'll see. But I hear your point. By the way, I got to go back to something the caller brought up that I, again, like everything last night, I'm admittedly conflicted on. But I think there's been a little bit unfair criticism of the decision for the ball to go to the Butler guy in the goal line scenario on fourth down, mm-hmm. for one very basic reason. He was clearly interfered with. I mean, if the call is properly made by the ref, it's first and goal at the 1 yard line. So, I mean, I too found it bizarre beyond belief that the ball was thrown to a guy that it was his only play of the season. With that said, on such a critical play, with that said, I mean, it was obviously interference and it should have been, I mean, you can make the case that receiver drew a penalty. He did. He just didn't call it.
Not through his, you know, spectacular work, he drew a penalty. It was a terrible play by the defensive back, just being all over him.
I mean,
like
think
that.
Of it this way.
It was the right choice by Carson
exactly.
to throw that ball.
And, John, here's my other point with it. Like, last week, the Eagles scored a touchdown. Now, granted, it was an improvised play. It was not right from the snap, to be clear. But they threw a touchdown to Kroom in his only play of the game. No one claimed on Monday, oh, my God, I can't believe they threw the ball to Kroom in his only play. People said, well, first off, I never heard of Kroom. Second off, I'm glad he scored a touchdown. I mean, I just find it a little bit unfair that there's criticism of Doug and I guess to a certain extent of Carson that they threw to a guy that had never played for the Eagles before when my eyes showed me he a penalty should have been called.
Well,
James, you came in here fired up about this.
I think it was a horrible play call. First of all, Doug took blame for it. Doug said, Carson, it was the play call. Like, he called that play, so it's not Carson's fault. It was such a lazy play call. Like, forget the outcome. Like, a fade route to a guy who hasn't been targeted all season on the most important play of the game? Like, this is the guy who called the Philly special. Like, where's that guy? Where's my creativity?
Well, that guy's
in Chicago. Whatever you want to say. Where is my creativity? Where's your best play in your bag for the most important play of the game, Doug? It's a fade route to a guy who hasn't played all year. Like, that's, I don't care. I agree it was a penalty. That was a bad play call.
I'll say this. It wasn't, for those who remember 30 years ago, Randall to Chris Carter was an unstoppable fade route.
It was.
In the end zone. I mean, literally, it was like Kareem Skyhook. It was indefensible.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
He could jump so high. Randall had this knack for lofting it right in there. It was like a guaranteed touchdown. It was unbelievable. That's not what we saw last night, but it was a penalty.
Well, let's blame Hakeem Butler also.
For what?
This is the one play The one play that you are allowed in this offense and you line up on the wrong side, think about that.
Yeah.
You were in for one play last night. You know, I know that you're new. You've been here for a few weeks, but you didn't even know where to go before the snap.
Not good. You're right, John. Not good.
It's incredible.
All right, let's go to Joe in Mayfair. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, morning. I said it last week, and I'll say it this week. Carson Wentz is Rocky Balboa. Unorthodox, wears his heart on his sleeve. He'll keep throwing punches. He'll keep getting hit. And he just does not know when to quit, good and bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. I'll never, ever question his heart and him as a person or character. And I figured out Carson just watching last night's game. When he's in the pocket and his first or second progression's not there, he panics. When he can't extend the play out of the pocket, he gets frustrated in the moment. I seen it all game yesterday, second and third quarter. Giants changed their defense. First progression wasn't there. Second wasn't there. Pockets collapsed, and he had nowhere to go. He refuses to get rid of the ball because he's frustrated in the moment. You've got to cut that out and learn and the game management to get rid of the ball. That's one thing I noticed about Carson last night.
Well,
and if he can figure that out where he doesn't mentally get a block where the third and fourth progression and there's nobody open, what to do when he can't get to the outside, he'll figure it out. But that's his own problem. He's in his own head where, oh, my gosh, I have to extend the play. I have to extend the play. And he mentally breaks down when he can. It's like he's a failure.
Wow.
Failure's a little strong, but, yeah, he's got I know what you're talking – there's a tendency there. And he has a competitive instinct that leads to great things and a competitive instinct that leads to bad things. And I do think he is not great at processing in the pocket. I think
he's not, and that's the problem. And I'm going to compare him to a player who played, because Joe, you said that there's no one like Carson in the history of Philadelphia sports, but Ron Hextall was. Same kind of player, same kind of wear your heart in your sleeve. Hextall could be awesome in moments and then letting the god-awful worst shot you could possibly time and time again when he was in his prime.
That is a good comparison. Wentz, yep, that is
and
a
Wentz
good.
Is, to me, is just like Hextall was back in the day. And I got to say this. The Eagles wide receivers, Fulgham will go get anything. He's not afraid to get the ball. Why wasn't Fulgham in that position last night where this guy who's never played before, why wouldn't you trust the one guy who will always go for the ball? Butler didn't even try to catch the ball. That's my problem. He didn't fight for it. If you want to play in the NFL, you have to learn how to fight for the football as a receiver and a tight end. That's Zach Ertz's problem lately. He's lost that fight in him to go get the ball. He's letting the defender who's near him get close to the ball. Whether you lose a half a step or a step is one thing, but positioning yourself to get the football is where the Eagles lack. And Fulgham and Scott, they get the ball.
And Ward battles, man. He battles.
And if you're a head coach and you see that your players are fighting for the ball, I don't understand why would you call a player's number who's never been in that position before? You set him up to fail. Doug needs to get a grip. And I can't wait, though, guys. Next Sunday night, we got to get the city pumped up for a meaningful football game. So, as Andy Reid said, a win's a win. Let's enjoy the win and move on. And I'm very glad they came back. And thank you, Mr. Engram, for being Tom Brady part two.
All right, Joe, we got you, man.
Well, think about the game plan that Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator for the Giants, brought into this game. He said, we're going to play too deep. You know what that means? You know what that is susceptible to? Susceptible to running the football because you've got two deep safeties instead of just one. You've got one less guy in the box. They knew that we weren't going to do that. And it's susceptible to a quarterback who's just willing to take little bites, take little chunks of what's there, the checkdowns right over the middle where those linebackers are dropping out. You just dump it over the ball.
Greg Ward stuff.
They decided Carson wouldn't do that. They decided Doug wouldn't call the run enough, and they almost won because that's the way they approached us. Like, we have flaws. Yes, Carson did enough of the right thing to win the game last night, and he did it in spectacular fashion. I give him credit for that. I also give him discredit for not taking what was there.
More often.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Up ahead, what Ray Dittinger said this morning to Angelo. We'll hit that next. All the calls as well. Doug Peterson's press conference today at 12:15. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie on WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.